I'm going to make a presentation about innovation platforms, but it's not really just innovation platforms, but the whole delivery mechanism that we will be using to deploy the TAT technologies in the countries. And I thought at the beginning, maybe it would have been important to introduce the core TAT team. Dr. Sidi, of course, is the coordinator. Then I would like to introduce Abiba. Maybe you could stand up. Abiba will be the technology transfer officer, assisting in working on the actual, working with the national partners in deploying the technologies. And then we have Kevin. Is Kevin here? Kevin is the accountant for the Rice Compact. And then we have Richelle, who will be assisting us with procurement. So there'll be a lot of communication with that team. Sidi already pointed out about the RICE technology delivery infrastructure, and it aligns quite well with our strategic plan at Africa RICE. At the strategic level, of course, we work under the RICE CRP with other centers, with IRI and other CIAT and other centers working on RICE. And as you know, Africa RICE, unlike other centers, is an intergovernmental agency. So we have our member states. Then, of course, we also work with the development partners. Sidi mentioned about the country investment programs from, for example, World Bank, IFAD, and so on. And so they will also play an important role in deploying the technologies that we'll be working with. So the way in which we partner with the countries is through the task forces, and these are in various disciplines. We have the breeding task force, agronomy task force, processing and value addition, mechanization, and then policy and gender. So there's a focal person for each of these task forces at Africa RICE, and some of you, the national partners, are the focal persons for the task forces in your own countries. So this task force is really a strong network with which Africa RICE interacts, exchanges knowledge with the national program so as to be able to deploy the technologies generated. And of course, even technology generation and testing is done in collaboration with the breeding task force. For example, testing of materials in different countries is done through the breeding task force before the materials are released. So through these task forces, a number of technologies are generated, improved varieties, for example, including Nerica varieties, which are quite known already, and then advanced rice varieties for Africa. These are Arikas. We have also hybrids and some market-oriented varieties that are aromatic. Rice Advice, which is a decision support tool for providing field-specific recommendations to farmers, and this will help them to optimize yield based on the resources they have available. Acid Thresher for reducing losses during threshing and making the threshing process less labor intensive. Gem parboiler, which also improves the quality of rice from the parboiling process. So there are a number of technologies. These are just examples. And this emanate from the work of the task forces. Then in the way then we interact with the countries is that we work in rice sector development hubs. These are regions of importance in each country. So the national partners, national stakeholders determine which are the most important rice producing areas in those countries. So a country could have two or three hubs, maybe in different ecologies. One could be upland, another one rain-fed lowland, another one irrigated. And these technologies are tested in the rice hubs. So capacity building is carried out for the value chain actors. And this is also where the Enabler Compacts come in, IME, IFDC, FARA. And within the rice sector development hubs, we then need to link the different actors and also so that they can be able to jointly innovate. And we do this using multi-stakeholder innovation platforms. And Sidi presented an example in Nigeria of the typical actors we would have in an innovation platform. So they include millers, seed producers, equipment manufacturers. Some of you are represented here. Of course, farmers as well, women processors, youths. From the national side, also National Agricultural Research Institutes, Extension, NGOs that are working in those localities, and also policy. Already Sidi and also Etienne presented some of these countries that we'll be working in, and the idea is that we have some core hubs, the startup countries based on the initial funds that we have, and then of course activities will continue. So innovation platforms will be implemented in 9 countries, And then technologies like CD mentioned will not be the same technologies implemented in each country. So it will depend on what is the priorities for that country. So for example, seed, the countries that where seed, we work on seed production will not be, some of them will overlap, but will not necessarily be the same countries where we have gaps and so on. And in each country, of course, we will have the core hub where the most of the efforts will be conducted, and then other spillover hubs where the other activities will be conducted. And this is also the importance of the country investment programs, because then if we focus on the core hubs, we would also have to leverage funds from the country investment programs to move further into the other hubs. So this presents the idea of the rice sector development hubs. Of course, you see the different agroecologies, and this Congo, for example, and you see that we have three rice hubs, and they represent the different agroecologies where we grow rice. The red dots is some of the countries where we've established innovation platforms already. They are in different levels of functionality. Some are doing well, some not so well. So there's the biophysical aspect, but also on the other hand, we have to look at systemic change that will actually allow for the use of these technologies to be able to transform agriculture. And so this presents basically a conceptual framework for that. Aside from the technologies, we also have to work on the governance issues of the value chain. On one hand, we have to incorporate measures that improve voice and accountability of the local value chain actors, create a critical mass of value chain actors who can also advocate for what they need. On the other hand, we have to have measures to improve the capacity of service providers, all the value chain actors. So there's a demand side, you know, for those who require the services, and also the supply side, those who actually provide the services. So our interventions target both of these locations with the ultimate goal of improving sustainable proper development in the rice value chain. So a little bit more about innovation platforms. These are platforms for learning where stakeholders learn together and interact, you know. They set their own objectives. Of course, each one would have their own interests. The farmer would want to, of course, sell his produce, the miller, everyone wants to make profit. But if there are common challenges that need to be addressed and cannot be done by more than one person, that's when the innovation platform becomes important. So it's for common issues that need to be addressed by different value chain stakeholders. So you would consider it like a cooking pot where, you know, everyone provides a certain ingredient with the overall goal of achieving what is required for improving the value chain. I don't want to go into details of this. This whole block here is about actually starting up the innovation platforms, ensuring that they are properly governed, and we'll be setting up IP coordination and facilitation teams in the countries. This second block here is about then working with the other programs for technology and innovation deployment, the global genetic diversity and improvement program for the varieties, and sustainable productivity improvement program for good agricultural practices, rice advice, and also for processing. And then, of course, entrepreneurship development together with the policy innovation systems and impact assessment program. So, of course, at the end, we'll have to analyze also, there's a part of research of understanding what is the process of scaling up, what are the factors that lead to adoption, and so on. So that is part of the research efforts that we'll be carrying out. And of course, monitoring the outcomes of our interventions will also be an important aspect of this. I don't want to give many examples, but just from the SADC project, where we set up innovation platforms in various countries. One of these IPs is in Bukan City in Lafia, and the entry point there was GEM rice per boiler. The choice of entry point was based on the fact that there was already a culture of rice per boiling in the country, so it will be an attractive entry point for the IP. There was a very high community engagement and ownership, contribution of personal resources of the IP actors into the IP processes. So we conducted capacity building of the value chain actors on the GEM per boiling process itself, entrepreneurship, as I mentioned, and so on. More than 1,200 rice per boilers were trained. And within 9 months of establishing the IP, they sold more than 2,000 tons of rice in over 14 states in Nigeria, so which is quite remarkable. And the figures now are quite high. Jonathan is here, maybe he can update us on the figures. They have hosted development projects and high-profile visitors. You know, the idea of TAT is that it's like a drop in the ocean. If there's something good, then ripples can be created from that. So this is what we want to achieve from the innovation platforms in the rice hubs. Then, of course, more than 20 IP actors have been employed in the IP facility. So thank you for your attention. If there are issues for discussion, we can do that.